We're still in Luke. In verse chapter 16, you are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Let's go. We were at Revelation 17. Let's go there. And there came, we're going to read what we read at the end yesterday again. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, come here, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And verse 15, just to explain the many waters, it says, and he saith unto me, the wisdom which thou sawest where the whore is sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The whore is sitting in your mind and all the people, which sitteth upon many waters. Back to verse 1. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And the word kings there doesn't really mean kings. It means anybody that's a leader. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The wine of Ephraim. The wine of self-seeking. Endless self-seeking. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman upon the scarlet-covered colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now the name of, as you remember, blasphemy is a legal word, and it means to deny the foundation. And it's where you are a believer, but you try to improve yourself, improve your actions, improve your work, whatever, by using the name of God. And so, in the whore of Babylon, her main weapon against truth, against faith, is cause and effect. Because with cause and effect, you know how to do something. And if you know how to do something, then you don't need faith. You don't need God. So you're putting God's name on your actions. And that's the definition of blasphemy, because you're denying the foundation. Everybody understand that? And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. So these are all colors of royalty, of achievement. She's arrayed in purple and scarlet, and then she's decked with everything we want, with gold and precious stones and pearls, and a golden cup in her hand. The cup that contains everything that you want, everything you desire. But that is full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. It's full of everything that you want. That's why it's gold. Everything you want for your kids. Everything you want for anything. And upon her head, her forehead, was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now she's the mother of the evil one that is sitting in the throne of your temple. Understand?
I missed the first part of that sentence.
She is the mother.
Talk about the whore?
The whore is the mother of the evil one. That is you. That is the one that's masquerading as you, the evil one. Let's go to Isaiah 57 and see if we can get clarification of this.
I just thought about this. You're talking about the cup with everything you want, and it's a gold cup, because if you get everything you want, you're kind of glorified in the moral system. You achieve what the world thinks it's looking for, and then juxtaposed to Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's like there are the two sides.
Right. There's only, you remember, we've talked about this many times. It's the theme of Luther's Heidelberg disputation, and that is that there are only two theologies. It's not the theology of God against other, in opposition or in competition. There are only two theologies: the theology of the cross, which presupposes your death, and the theology of glory. And even back then, he used addiction as the revelation of that.
Addiction?
Huh?
Addiction.
The idea that, you're gonna get fixed, you're gonna get better, we're gonna put God's name on it, but
yeah.
We'll study more on that in a little bit. Isaiah 57. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth at heart. The righteous is the righteous one. Remember, it's got a "the" before it. And it calls special attention to the righteous one. And that righteous one is Christ in you. And no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering the righteous, that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. That's why the seed of the adulterer, which is Satan, and the whore, which is the whore of Babylon. Again, it's the idea that it's a counterfeit of Christ and his bride. Amen? Against whom do you sport yourselves or vaunt yourselves? Against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? That's incredible. Isaiah was saying this about, this was about 690 BC when he was saying this. So he saw the same thing that John saw in the Revelation. Saw the same thing. Anyway. Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree. And again, the green tree. every green tree that you see is the a picture of some, I'm not picking on you, Gary, great idea. But you never see the leaves falling to remind you of his fall from your presence, your fall from his presence. You just see the green tree. Slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks. You slay the children because you're passing them through the fires of Molech. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion, thy reward. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Well, we need to study that one day, but I don't feel like doing it. Upon a high and lofty mountain, internally, one of the seven mountains in Europe, and the high and lofty mountain, the highest of the mountain, is the mountain of the Jebusites. And it's the last, it's the mountain, seven mountains eventually, but the Ark of the Covenant, when they entered into Jerusalem, to Israel, it sat on each of those six mountains until the temple was finished and built. Then the Ark of the Covenant was moved to what was formerly the Jebusites. And the Jebusites are human hope. And so once that Ark of the Covenant was set on the mountain of the Jebusites, or Jerusalem, then all other, from that point forward, all other worship was forbidden. But in each generation, every 40 years, it seems, the Israelites returned to worship on the high places. Why? Because that's the, what can I say, that's the default position, to worship on the high places. The last high place is hope. One of these days we're going to study each of the six, but I don't feel like doing that today either. But the once hope is the most difficult to destroy, because human hope is the definition of the beast. That's why, you know, that's why it's not just all of them say. The people that we investigate, Benny Hinn did it on television, where he was asked, he was talked about this, and he said, "Well, at least I'm giving them hope." I've heard Copeland say it many times when challenged about what he was doing. He said, "Well, at least I'm giving them hope." That's the most cruel thing you can do. Behind the doors also, and the posts, hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. Why is it just one bed? There's seven mountains, but on one, the high and the loftiest one, you've set up your bed. That's Jerusalem, before the temple is dedicated. That's the most powerful one. And thou wittest to the king, not the Melech king, but the Molech king, the dragon. When thou wentest to the king with ointments and did increase thy perfumes. Now, what are the perfumes? The perfumes are your thoughts, what you think are your good thoughts. You increased your perfumes and did send thy messengers far off. You sent your messengers far off in your mind because you justify some evil you did in the past, or you have some great thing that you're working on and you're convinced it's gonna fix you. And so that you're sending your messengers afar off. That's the nature of that beast. And did it debase thyself even unto hell? You understand that? Even the comic book version of Satan, you go to him to get what you want, right? Sell your soul, is it?
Yeah.
But that's just the human nature. It's not some special thing. It's the human nature to do it. You did debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of your way. Thou sayest, but yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. For you found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. You've got another idea. You are wearied in the greatness of your way, but you don't sit down and say there's no hope, because you come up with another idea that's going to fix you. Just communicating to anybody? And so you're not grieved. You have to be grieved to have repentance. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? You're waiting for God to come and slap you on the head, and he's not going to. His humility is so great, he cannot do that. Until the end, until he said, now will I arise. And then it's too late.
Yeah, that's pretty much, you've said that for many, many times, but this is pretty much a verification of that. Having I held my peace.
Right.
And yet thou fearest me not.
I will declare thy righteousness. He will reveal what you think you've done as righteous. And thy works, for they shall not profit thee. Even if you're doing them in the name of God, they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies, let all these guys you've been praying for, or dealing with, let them save you. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Now his holy mountain, what is it? Psalm 48 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain or high place of his holiness, the New Jerusalem. Beautiful for every situation, the joy of the whole world is this Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, but shrouded in a mystery, the city of the great king. It's there.
Isaiah saw it 620 years before, 90 years before Christ.
And they and shall say, cast you up, cast you up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. What is the stumbling block? The universal stumbling block is the fruit of the curse, self-seeking, self-realization. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be always wroth. For the spirit shall fall before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. But I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked ones are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace with my God to the wicked one.
Saith
my God. Hmm? Yes, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked one. Can you get an idea now of what abominations are? That which is highly, you are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. At each feast, there's an attack of this. For Passover, really Passover and Pentecost are really one feast. They're connected by the 49 days, the 49 gates of impurity of coming out. I won't do all that now. If you externalize this stuff and say, well, the wicked one is that guy over there, or Muslim, ISIS people, or whoever, they're cutting out people's heads. No. I mean, they are, but so are you. There is no peace to the wicked one. And you know that. Anyone that uses their mind knows there is no peace. It's all it does. His waters cast up mire and dirt. I want to read one thing from this Luther's business. You must get this through your head and not doubt that you are the one who is torturing Christ. Thus, for your sins have surely wrought this. Therefore, when you see nails piercing Christ's hands, you can be sure it is your work. When you behold his crown of thorns, you may rest assured that these are your thoughts. Anyway, that goes on, but that was Martin Luther. That's what started the Reformation.
Yeah.
We need the third wave of the church now. We need to return to the cross. Amen? Okay. Any response? You're musing, Gary.
Well, just now I'm thinking about the scripture, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. He was lifted up.
You can't, that's why, come on, we're just lifting up Jesus. No, you're not. He was lifted up. That was meant the cross.
Yeah. And that's the power of God and salvation.
All right, that's the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. Cross has to go deeper and deeper and deeper and then deeper still until that seventh angel stands and says to you, come here. The seventh angel also in chapter 10, when he stands, he says, and he must say in you, the mystery of God is finished. Time shall be no more. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. You are the house of God.
As you think, there are levels of death, a shallow death, an acquiescence to the thought about death, agreeing with what it says about death, but until it's encountered.
But those are not death.
Until it's encountered in your own body, mind, soul, spirit, to the point of no hope.
As we said before, those are pseudo deaths.
Which ones?
The ones you mentioned.
Yeah.
Those are agreeing mentally.
Intellectual deaths.
But it's not death because he raises himself immediately from the dead in the head wound. That's our repentance. Is the only thing. All right. Take it, big guy.